episode of GeoTalk, we take a look at which famous Australian has taken up geocaching, get your 2014 geocaching resolutions, and we head to the East Cape of North Island of New Zealand. All this and more on GeoTalk. Welcome to GeoTalk episode 104 for April 2014. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors. Sorry once again for being a little bit slow, but as you probably know from my post on Facebook at facebook.com/GeoTalk and also from various comments here and there that unfortunately, the tumour that I had that appeared last year returned early this year, and I had to go back in for surgery again to have it removed again. And hopefully this will not become a frequent occurrence. But it means I've been laid low for a couple of weeks and just basically trying to catch up with life and reconnect with things. But look, thank you very much for all your thoughts and concerns. I've had lots of emails and calls and so forth. But anyway, let's see if we can get back into the show. Now, a little bit of a shorter one today, although it's going to feature a bit of content from New Zealand, from Alan Radio Nut 50 and Linda Butterfly Lady, who have been doing a bit of geocaching over on the east point of New Zealand's North Island. So I'll give you a bit of a taste of where the podcast is going to be heading in the next few months anyway. We're looking more for user content and user feedback, and hopefully the big mega event that's occurring this weekend, this Easter long weekend, which unfortunately we can't go to because of my surgery. Hopefully we'll get some content from that as well, and get some calls in from people there. And talking about calls, just to let you know too that the feedback number is no longer active. We've decided we don't get that many calls on it anymore. So if you still have that number, the old GeoTalk number, you might want to delete that out of the phone. These days, most of the smartphones can record your audio. And you can upload it to one of the cloud services, whether it's Dropbox or SoundCloud or the different SkyDrive, anything like that. Just let us know where to grab it from, and we'll include it into the podcast. Just a little bit of audio from Isaac and I. We over the Christmas break or in the new year, we went down to Jervis Bay and spent some time down there and doing some fantastic geocaches down there, as well as dropping into the 10th anniversary of Earthcaching down at South Durris Beach down in down on the south coast of New South Wales. But here's a little bit of audio that that Isaac and I recorded while we're out on the Cape down at Point Perpendicular down near Jervis Bay. So I'm sitting here having completed Tunnel of Terror by the Two Dogs, which is another old school cache down here at Jervis Bay. I'm with my best mate and eldest son, Isaac. What did you think of the geocache?
It was great.
And what was the best thing about it?
I borrowed something from it.
Oh, what did you get out of the geocache?
A toy car.
A car. You love the cars. And we swapped it for a pair of sunglasses that Daddy can't use. And what do you think of the view from the geocache?
It looks great.
What can you see?
I saw a boat and now I can see a ship.
Mm-hmm. And obviously lots of ocean and cliffs and waves. And we're on top of a big cliff here, looking out over the Pacific Ocean. So we had was the walk easy or hard?
A bit hard.
A little bit hard. A little bit hard for your short legs, but it was about a kilometre and a half along a fairly flat track. And then the last 60 metres, we had to scramble up some rocks to get up here. But you can hear Isaac in the background having a big drink. But we've got to head back to the car now, and we're going to head down to the lighthouse. But that was a pretty good trip. Did you enjoy that geocache?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll head back to the car now.
So that's Isaac and I doing a bit of geocaching out at Jervis Bay. And if you go out with your kids, we'd love to get some audio, listen to what your kids' experiences are like geocaching out in Australia and New Zealand or anywhere else going overseas. So, what else is happening in the geocaching world? Well, as I said, I've been a bit out of the loop, but one thing I did notice just in the last day or two is that Hugh Jackman, the famous actor, is gone geocaching, and you can check that on our Facebook page at facebook.com/geotalk. He's obviously been bitten by the geocaching travel bug. Be interested to know if you know of any other celebrities who have been out geocaching, particularly Australian or New Zealand celebrities. Call them in and let's find out who's into it. Of course, if you are a newbie, then you're probably wanting to know how to play the game. And I know that the game has changed quite a lot in the almost 11 years that I've been playing it since 2003. And certainly we've seen a lot of things come and go. But Groundspeak have recently been updating some of their videos on their YouTube channel. And you can find their YouTube channel by heading to youtube.com/gogeocaching, and they have a great little explainer video on how to hide caches, and it's probably the first time that I've actually seen where they've recommended that you go out and find a number, and the number they've suggested there is about 100. Now, there's no written rule to say that you must have found that many or even wait that long or even have to do it at that point. I know many people who have never hidden a cache, and I know lots of people who have hidden lots and haven't found as many, but it's a great video. Check it out. I'll give you a link in the show notes, and you can find the show notes at geotalkpodcast.com, and we'll also give you a link from the Facebook page at facebook.com/geotalk. I'm not going to harp on for too much longer because I think there are plenty of other things that we can listen to. So let's head across the ditch to Alan and Linda over in New Zealand and find out what they've been up to geocaching on the East Cape of New Zealand.
Yeah, hi there, Darren, and to the listeners from sunny Hamilton in the North Island of New Zealand with some caching comment from this area. It certainly has been pretty sunny around here, which is very pleasant for caching, but not all that good if you earn your living off the land around here. It is time for some rain. I guess autumn's coming and we'll head for winter shortly. It does seem a heck of a long time ago, but since our last GeoTalk contribution, in January, Linda and I enjoyed a holiday around the east coast of the North Island, doing a few caches on the way, of course. We did have the opportunity to get the recorder going while searching for some of them, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to feed in a bit of audio here from some of the more notable caches on our trip. Well, Linda and I are out caching in the area of Havelock North, and one of those magical moments when you're driving down the road, you see a cache pointed to on the side of the road that you wouldn't, in a spot you wouldn't really have noticed before, and it's the Peka Peka Wetlands Reserve. It's an area where some of the swamp area is being restored to the way it used to be. And what a beautiful spot. This is what caching's all about. We're here on a nice sunny day, walking around some boardwalk. We've decided to go for the cache partway round. And it says it's a micro. Linda's already reaching under a seat. What have you found? We've found a nothing. We'll hop down and have a look and see what we can see.
Looking for a regular bolt.
We reckon it's a bolt. We've come to some sort of idea here. Maybe that's a spoiler for someone who comes later. But so far we haven't really found anything to prove that we're correct. Let's look at the GPS. That's a strange idea. 6 metres. That's a long way from here. 5 metres. 4 metres. That's getting a bit closer. So we'll have a scrabble around looking for this. I hear an aha. Then a maybe, and we'll see what we can find underneath. What? No, that's not obvious either. We'll do a bit more looking. What have we found now? Aha, there's a real aha.
Yep.
We've got ourselves a well-made cache out of a bolt with a bison tube on the end, or a nano.
But the caching's not so quite as important as the magical spot. Caches now bring us these beautiful spots.
So what we found is a log. We're going to write our name on this log and then finish walking around. Oh, we need a pen.
And Rosmar's been here. We seem to be following them today.
Okay, so we'll have a look around this area shortly. Right, we've got our name in the log. Put the pen away.
And we didn't need a pliers or anything.
We brought a pair of pliers just in case we needed to squeeze the log out of a tube or something like that. A very useful piece of caching kit is our pliers.
Long nose pliers.
Long nose pliers. Got to remember to take them out of your pocket before you go on an aeroplane though, don't you? haven't had them confiscated yet, but going to one day, I think.
What a magical place.
We're looking out over a... Linda will pop that away, won't you?
Yes.
She found it. That's our rule in our caching team. The person who finds it has to put it away. That reduces the number of cases that creep. We just got an email this morning from someone who seems to have found one of our cases in a different spot to where we left it. We're now looking out over this wetland, and there's a boardwalk we're going to go down shortly to finish our look. There's something a little bit more modern here as well. There's a big pile of rubble, which is bricks and concrete and reinforcing. And it is mildly interesting to me that a whole lot of it is actually rubble from the Napier earthquake, 1930s earthquake, 1931. Been dumped here, and they've left some of it showing. That, of course, isn't exactly what the boardwalk's all about. But it does give you a little bit of the history of the area. So what a fantastic cache, everybody. Well, this is the sort of place we like to go to. We've finished our little walk around this wetland area. We've been on the go for only about 25 minutes. It's a pretty close to the car park all the way. But according to my GPS, we've covered about 1.2 kilometres. So there's a heck of a lot of tracks in and out around this native reserve area.
And we did not do them all.
And we didn't do everything.
No.
We missed a few. So what a great deal of preparation people have done and work people have done here. So what a great spot. We read the cache notes out of our GPS partway through as well. And we thought it probably worthwhile quoting to you some of the words in there, especially about cache size.
Pukeka Wetlands description. This is the regeneration in action. Just off the State Highway 2, the wetlands are slowly growing back to their natural state, providing a home for all types of wildlife. The area is also of significant historical interest to local Maori, with two power sites within the location of the reserve. Also, the cache itself will one day regenerate from a simple micro to a sizeable find once surrounding vegetation has sufficiently become established.
We think that's quite a neat idea, that the cache owner is going to make the cache grow as soon as there's facilities to hide a larger box. We're one of these caching teams that really enjoy larger boxes. In fact, we've got a pile of caches in the back of our car. As we get a bit closer to our home on our road trip, we might be spreading a few more out. To us, they're quite small boxes because they're only 400 mil, but that's about the smallest we like to hide. We've also got a lot of ammo cans on board that we bought in an army surplus, but more about that later.
We progressed further on our holiday, travelling north and around the eastern coast of the North Island. Probably only time for one more featured cache. This one is really a place to go in your lifetime. I started recording while we were sitting in the car, ready to head off at the bottom of a hill.
Well, we're sitting in the car, very close to a cache that we're looking forward to go and visit. There's actually two caches here. We're heading for the cache that's the easternmost point in New Zealand, which is a worthwhile place to visit. GPS just said it's 222 metres from here. Is that the first one?
That's the
closest one of the two. Now, it's at a lighthouse on the east cape of our country. I hear there's a few steps on the way, Linda. What do they reckon?
700 upward.
Yeah, that might be a bit of a challenge for a couple of older caches. So we're going to progressively make our way up this hill and perhaps do a bit of recording with some puffing as we get a bit closer to the caches. Well, we've just come up to a step and it's got a number carved on it. What does it say, Linda?
150.
150 steps.
Easy steps.
And they're actually easier than we'd expected. We've had a reputation of this climb, but the steps are actually wooden slabs laid on a dirt path, so they're not particularly high.
And we're in a beautiful bush, not out in the open. Lovely native bush both sides of us.
So we're enjoying a bit of our country's scenery, a little bit different to what we're used to. And we're 100 metres from the first cache. Well, starting to get a bit of a puff in the voice. GPS says 18 metres. We're still climbing steps. Are you puffing, Linda? Doesn't want to talk. We're still climbing steps and looking out to on a view to our right. GPS now says 19, so we're going on a few zigzags and fast little bits before we get to the spot. There's supposed to be a bench here, which might be quite welcome. Listening to cicadas in the background, not quite as loud as the Australian cicadas we heard in the last geotalk though. Got a few native birds around us, flaxes attracting in tuis. Oh, still haven't found it, 12 metres away. Seem to be walking a lot more metres than we are finding it. Let's go ahead and have a look. Another zigzag in the track. More steps. GPS went beep at 6 metres. Still going up. More steps all the way. Found a bench. And the arrow's pointing at the spot. Oh, it's pointing behind us. It's unlikely to be there. Might do a hint check at this point rather than spend too much time. There are a few muggles around. Somebody went ahead of us a few minutes ago. And, oh, it's very specific. And the left leg when sitting. That's all been very clearly mowed. I found it though. Here we go. And we're now looking at a micro little square box with a logbook in it. We'll take a break and sign this one up. Writing our logs, a bit tricky. The case has got some waterproof paper, and both our pen and the pencil that's in the case don't want to work too well. It's quite a lot of pages, so there's a heck of a lot of logs here, and most of them are quite difficult to read, so we've put some stickers on as well. We feel quite satisfied that we've found this one, don't we, Linda?
Absolutely. We've managed to make an indentation on the log page and leave a butterfly sticker.
So you can read it in Braille, and we've put a sticker on it.
Unfortunately, this paper does not welcome pens very well.
No, but it's a good idea in a spot like this where maintaining's quite difficult, because we're about 20 kilometres down a gravel road, which is a little unusual in the North Island of New Zealand now. And we drove, we took all day, but about 4 hours driving, I guess, from Gisborne to get here. We're on the way again. We actually got muggled then. We had a whole bunch of people arrive just as we were finishing putting the log away. Have to be a little bit careful. These steps have got a bit taller. Just about need a ladder between them. We'll still keep grinding away up the hill. Not sure what we're going to find at the top. There's going to be quite a few other tourists in the area. Getting a bit further up, back into the bush again, and we found some more carvings on a step, which took a bit to work out, but it says, fuel, 301 to go with an arrow. So I guess that means we've got 301 more steps to climb up this hill. On such a beautiful day, that's good. We're just coming up the last couple of steps now. We're not alone up here. But I'm just looking at this majestic lighthouse. Pretty soon we'll get a chance to look for the cache, I hope. We'll take a pause until then. We're at the top. The muggles have left. 20 metres, says the GPS. Somewhere over here. Beautiful view from the top of this hill. Very early part of my career, I used to do maintenance at lighthouses, so this is pretty fascinating to me. It's a cast iron tower, been here since 1922, originally erected in 1900 though on an offshore island, but the collapses of the island meant that it was time to move, and they moved it here. It's been automated since 1983 I found a cache too, which they all are now. I used to come out to these places, not in this part of the country though, when they were manned. And they're always nice lighthouse keeping families living in remote locations, just to maintain radios and electronics. Right, I've got a cache in my left hand. Back to Linda. And we saw that there was a car parked, two cars at the bottom of the hill. Told us there was more crowds of people coming shortly. So we need to sign this and get get it hidden away. I drop it down there to Linda, who can do the logging. Suppose you need a pen as well. It's in a nice little bag. And looking at the scenery from here, I'm looking to the east. Next stop, South America, I think. Don't know my geography perfectly, though. A little island offshore here where the light used to be. To the north, it's a bit hazy. That's where we're staying, at Hicks Bay, just north of here, about 29k north of here. South of here is Gisborne. Can't quite see that far either, but hazy. I can see here, we can see a landmass down there. Mahia. Is that Mahia? I need to check the maps before I make any statements. An area we've been caching yesterday. Did a few caches on the way up. Had a couple of DNFs as well, but that's part of caching. At least we got to the nice locations that the original cache hider intended us to find. Found a logbook. All done. Time to open this little box again before the people arrive.
Well, that was a sample of a couple of the caches that we thought were really magical on our holiday. We did a few more, and I recorded a few more and might use them in later geotalks, because I think it's very useful sometimes to feature the work that some of our great cache hiders do at finding these special locations. So we had a good holiday, been back at work a heck of a long time now. Boy, it's just coming up to April when I record this. The special thing we've got coming up next in the life of the Butterfly Lady and Radio Nut 50 team is an overseas expedition. You may recall, those who listened to Geotalk, that a couple of years ago we went on a geocaching expedition to Cambodia. Well, the tour company that ran that advertised another one to China, and we signed up for that. But unfortunately, they didn't get enough people, and so it got cancelled. Well, a good friend of mine, Zorgon, decided to come and have a chat, and we agreed that we'd have a go at going on the trip by ourselves. And so in 3 weeks' time, the four of us, Linda, myself, Zorgon, who is Richard, and his wife Debbie, are heading off to China for 2 weeks, and we're going to try and get a few caches in a few places in that country. There's about 600 caches in the entire Chinese country, which is a very large area, not a high concentration. And we're really only going to some of the tourist spots, and we'll do a little bit of Hong Kong on the way back, so maybe I'll have something to report to the next Geotalk. Thanks again for the opportunity, Darren. All the very best to yourself and to the listeners. This is Radio Nut 50 signing off from Hamilton, New Zealand.
Well, thanks for that audio, Alan and Linda. And look, if you've got some audio that you want to record, it doesn't have to be anywhere near that long. It can just be 15 seconds. It can be 15 minutes, however long you want to make it. Just record it on your phone or any other audio device and upload it somewhere and let us know where we can grab it from for the next episode. Look, hopefully we'll get the next one out in another couple of weeks' time, so in time for May. And hopefully we might even get some audio from the mega event over in Murray Bridge that's being held this Easter long weekend. You might recall an episode or two back at the end of last year, I think it was, I asked for your geocaching resolutions for 2014. Now, obviously, I've been out in the wilderness for a while, having a few things done, but I thought we better go through some of the resolutions that people sent in at the start of the year. First of all, got one from Linda, who's also known by the name of Tronador here in Sydney. She says she'd like to complete her terrain and difficulty grid with only six to go. Jim Newell said he'd like to fill in as many calendar days as possible and at least get 6 months completely filled. Elisa Richardson says a dozen earth caches within the next year and make 2014 the year of quality caching. Brett Townsing says, my goal is to fill my calendar with the exception of February 29, of course, because it's not a leap year this year, and also attempt at least five terrain, five caches.
Mark Seabury, who we've spoken to in a recent episode, he said that his first cache placement was an ammo can, and he'd like to go back and replace most of the painted Systema boxes that he's got, which will be a big job because he's got about 30 caches to replace. He'll keep us up to date on that. Mike Kirk said in late 2013 he finished the Yasma Challenge. That is at least one cache that was in place for each month since May 2000. And being based in WA, this is certainly challenging, as because the first one over there was placed in 2001. So he's hoping that he can complete that sometime this year to finish that Yasma Challenge. And our final one is Lloyd McRae, who'd like to hide as well as find some larger quality caches this year, and also hoping that all the other geolocation games I play won't distract me from keeping my longest slump down to its current 20 days. So they're the geocaching resolutions. Now, we did agree that we would pick one of them at random and give away a 2013 Geocaching New South Wales geocoin, and that goes to Elisa Richardson. So Elisa, if you can get in touch with us through the podcast, all you need to do is just drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll send out your prize in the mail. And of course, I shouldn't get away with not putting my geocaching resolution out for this year. I'm still trying to get rid of all those geocaches that are in New South Wales that were placed before I started back in July 2003. I think I'm down to about just under 50 now, and I've only got about four left from 2001. And they're going to be a little bit of work, but we'll see if we can halve that rate and get it down to somewhere around about the sort of 25 mark before the end of the year. So we'll see how we go with that. Hey, just before we go, I forgot to mention Kitty Catch also sent in a geocaching resolution. You were in the draw, so you didn't miss out. Kitty Catch wants to say that she wants to organise a number of events, going to events and meeting other caches, just getting together. And wants to say thank you very much for making 101, show 101, a very informative and interesting show. Thank you for that, Kitty. Well, that's all for this episode of Geo Talk. I hope you have a good Easter long weekend break, whether you're at the mega event in South Australia or just on the geocaching trail anywhere around Australia and New Zealand. Have a good time, and remember, safe geocaching.